My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we said at the beginning of this Mass, our reflection today centers on the theme, the power of the Word of God. Power of words is tremendous. A well-chosen word has the power to stop a flying army, to change defeat into victory, and can save an empire. If you wish to make sure that your words carry weight, please wear them well. We can see in the readings of today, we can learn so many things. We are talking about the Word of God. All of us agree that human words carry power behind them. They have tremendous power. If the spoken words of human beings have power behind them, think of the power that the Word of God carries. God created us, human beings, and we agree that human words carry power. Then let us think about the power that the Word of God carries. You see, the church is made up of sinners and saints. We are sinners and saints at the same time. Every soul is a fertile, is a good ground for the Word of God. In the first reading of today, taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, here Isaiah uses an analogy. He uses the image of the rain and snow to explain how the Word of God functions. In the first reading of today, the Lord says, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there, for they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. The Lord says, my word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. And in the gospel of today, Jesus uses the parable of the sower to explain the dissenting that Isaiah tries to explain in the first reading of today. That is the power of the Word of God and how the Word of God functions. But Jesus does that in a different way in the gospel of today. My dear people of God, you know that the priest advises the people. And sometimes the priest seeks advice from the people, seeks opinion from the people. I would like to have a little dialogue with you this morning, so that I want to get your opinion on a certain matter. But before we do that, before we enter into dialogue, I would like to state my case. When I was a pastor in a parish many years ago, but not here in the United States, on the Solemnity of Christ the King, we normally had a procession with the Blessed Sacrament, and the procession was carried out along the streets within the parish territory. And the procession will begin from the church and will end inside the church with a benediction. And on Sundays and solemnities, the altar was always dressed with costly and beautiful clothes. So on one occasion, on the solemnity of Christ the King, after the Mass, we went for a procession. And when we came back into the church to conclude with the benediction, we noticed that the clothes used in decorating the altar were missing. Somebody stole them. A foreigner? Not at all. A day or two after that, it was discovered that the thief was a person that celebrated the Holy Mass with us on the solemnity of Christ the King, listened to the word of God read from the scripture, listened to the homily of the priest who celebrated Mass that day, and most importantly, received Christ in the Holy Communion. And after that, what did he do? He stole something belonging to Christ. And to make the matter worse, he stripped Christ naked. The altar we are looking at symbolizes Christ. Now, this is where I would like you to come in. If you were the pastor of this parish, in the story narrated, and this thief is brought to you, just tell me how to handle this thief. If you punish him and hand him over to the police, he may not attend Mass again in his life. If you have mercy on him and let him go, he may do that again. He may steal again. Now, tell me, I want to seek your opinion on this. Tell me how to handle such a person. So I'm seeking your opinion, please. I want to get some answers. Only three persons. One here, and one there. Please do not disappoint me. Yes, I'm seeking opinion from you. So, if such a thief is brought to you, tell me how to handle such a person. If you hand him over to the police, he may not attend Mass again in his life. If you let him go free without doing anything, he may continue to steal. Now, tell me how to handle such a person. Yes, from here. He said, mercy, forgiveness. But we said, if you have mercy on him, he may continue doing that. Okay, that is your opinion. Then, another, it's your turn now. No person? Who? Who wants to say something here? Yeah. Forgiveness. The same thing, mercy. Mercy and forgiveness, they go together. Then, here, all of us are talking about mercy. Here, a person here, one person. Oh, clean the church, you punish him. Yeah, having work. Clean the church, having work, you punish him. But the problem we have is that when you punish him, he may not come to Mass again. If you have mercy on him, he may continue doing that. Only God knows. This is a serious problem. Now, do you know that this is exactly the condition of some of us? Many of us, not some, many of us. Many of us. Because we listen to the word of God every Sunday, if not every day. We listen to the homily of the priest every Sunday, if not every day. We receive Christ in the Holy Communion every Sunday, if not every day. And yet, many of us have refused to hand our lives over to Christ, to let Christ control our lives. Many of us have refused to forgive. Many of us have refused to show mercy. Many of us have refused to have patience with one another, to show love to one another. And yet, we receive Holy Communion at Mass. We listen to the Word of God every Sunday, if not every day. But God exercises patience with us. When we want that the Word of God may bear fruit in us, we have to hand over to Jesus our lives. Let Jesus control our lives. But when we refuse, when we refuse to allow Jesus to have control over our lives, then the Word of God may not bear fruit in us. Remember the words of Frank Outlaw, who says, "Watch your thoughts before they become words. Watch your words before they become actions. Watch your actions before they become habits. Watch your habits before they become your character. And watch your character before it becomes your destiny." If you plant honesty, you will reap trust. If you plant humility, you will reap greatness. If you plant hard work, you will reap success. If you plant forgiveness, you will reap reconciliation. And when you plant faith, you will reap eternal life. Be very careful what you plant now, because what you plant now will determine what you will reap in